some dark deserted highway on my way to another lonesome town.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of Death Podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Robert.
I'm John.
Interesting.
That went
the usual suspects.
That went much better than expected.
Yeah, it's a foreshadowing. Reverse foreshadowing. Backshadowing, some call it.
What? Who calls it that?
I do. Some okay. do. One snake eats the other, as they say. Oh, sure. Timely too, because that's kind of his logo, kind of. Speaking of which, today we are going to be talking about the one and only Steve Earle.
Yay!
Folk rocker, country westerner, huge influence in
rockabilly.
In rockabilly, you know, you've got the bluegrass in there, good old fashioned blues. He's he hits pretty much every genre of music I just like a lot, and he does it really. He does pop, yeah, does actually, which is weird. And he sports an awesome, awesome beard now, which is cool. But for the majority of his career, he looked kind of just like this weird old guy. That was all right, too.
Even when he was young.
Especially when he was young. but yet another one in my series of my from my musical renaissance that I went through about a decade ago. I discovered just a ton of great music all at once, and Steve Earle was really great in there because he is this gateway into all of these other artists who kind of surround Steve Earle or influenced by him or that he used as muses, and he's just this wonderful door into that world while still being just kind of this foundation cornerstone. Yeah. So I thought it was a good pick for this week. I enjoyed I've been listening to so much of it over the past week or two. I've really gotten nothing done because I just made this playlist, which I'll share on the website, and I've just like listened to so much of it in a way that I don't think I've done with other artists that I've picked since we've begun these things. So I didn't know how I know John is really familiar with Steve Earle as well. I wasn't sure how familiar Robert was, so I didn't ask him because I also didn't really care. but I sent him in the playlist too. and I guess he liked him a bit. But let's do what we usually do and go around the room and see what everybody's first impressions, what everybody kind of, you know, what do you call that? Like a, when you stick a pig in a furnace. There's a thing for it. John, you can start.
Bacon?
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see what the bacon is on this. I give it, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give him 8 pieces of bacon. Now, I've been a dabbler in the art of Steve Earle for a while. Really picked up kind of, I'd say 2007, I think. I discovered Steve Earle through Townes Van Zandt. So that was kind of my introduction into that whole set of the, the Townes Van Zandt, Steve Earle, Doc Watson, even Emmylou Harris, all those great, great artists from that era and from that genre and all that. So that's kind of where I started with it. And then he was kind of one of those guys that I'd listened to a little bit and then didn't really connect with, appreciated, but didn't necessarily connect the way I did immediately with like Townes Van Zandt was I had an immediate connection to his music. Same thing with Emmylou Harris. I had an immediate connection to her music, but I saw him perform. And this is why I mentioned the song, Chris, when you were making your playlist, the City of Immigrants song.
Yeah.
I saw him perform it live on a late night show at some point. And I was like, oh, that's the guy. Like, I like this. And when he performed it it was a little bit less. I mean, it was a little bit more rockin', I'd say. Okay. Maybe. All
right.
And there was a heavier guitar presence on it.
Okay.
But then I immediately went to iTunes and downloaded it. Yeah. So it's the studio version sounded a little different than what I heard that I connected to, but
okay.
It was really cool.
Because it says "fuck you" when I didn't put it on the list.
So. Essentially, yeah. I stand by that.
No, it's a good song. No, I never, you know, a lot of his are, the majority of his, I think, are good. I think a great portion of them are great.
Yeah.
And then yeah, there's some that, you know, I could kind of take or leave, you know.
And I kind of found that too as I was listening to your list, because there were some songs in there I hadn't heard before and some songs I hadn't listened to really. Like, I'd heard them but hadn't listened to them. One of them that I really liked off of it was Home to Houston.
Oh, yeah. And that's a fun one.
I just breezed over that one before your playlist. But I was listening to your list kind of passively at work, because that's the only time I really have to do this. And get sidetracked so much, but that was one that just popped out when I was listening. That one, and I forget, but there's a couple of them that did. But
yeah, I tried to throw on, you know, a lot of the staples. I think a lot of the things that were really, like, you kind of need to listen to if you want the Steve Earle experience, so to speak. That's why I put Galway Girl on there. I really like that song, but I could also see how some people wouldn't really. I think that one can be, for some people, take it or leave it, but it is regardless considered a staple of his in his career, off of probably my favorite album of his, and I think it's really good anyway. And it's that it harkens to his real folk. It's what he does best, you know, when he does folk, and it, in this case, it's Irish folk, which he does a lot in his earlier stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just I tried to put stuff like that on there, but then I also try to kind of diversify and kind of reach into kind of his whole catalog and pull things that I think speak to his style but may not be very famous.
Right.
So that was one. So I'm glad you like that.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, hey. It's hard to say. Yeah. Hey.
So much yay. Yay so much.
Yay so much. Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Earle.
He did a song for the Beverly Hillbillies movie.
Okay, all right. No, so I guess I didn't know really. Like, I kind of assumed you just didn't know a lot of him. I think because I want to say we talked about him before, and you
we've talked about. I woefully ignorant in terms of folk and country music. I
woefully or willfully?
Woefully.
Wellfully.
Wealthily.
Full of well.
Full of wealth.
Well, okay.
I have pockets of artists that I'm familiar with, and I've, you know, gotten into their music and stuff like that. Steve Earle is not one of those artists. He has worked with artists that I'm familiar with. Johnny Cash has done some of his songs, and Emmylou Harris I'm familiar with. Never really got into her. And
also Carl Perkins, by the way. I was actually going to commend you, John, on that little list you ran through. Mm-hmm. Of artists that I was just too late to name when I was kind of glossing over. Oh, he does things with people I like. Thank you for actually pointing out who those were. Carl Perkins also on that list, by the way.
He's also done stuff with, like, Waylon Jennings and
Waylon Jennings, yeah.
Well known for working with Del McCoury Band, and I like the Del McCoury Band. But I'm going to say this right now. I wasn't really familiar with Steve Earle. I'm not really familiar with Townes Van Zandt. I've never really gone into their music. So this was just, I guess, a 101 introduction for me.
Neat.
Into his discography.
Cool. Well, that's cool then.
And I liked it. It was fun. Good. The only, I don't know. This is gonna sound weird. Listening to his music, it to use a metaphor here, it gave me, it didn't scratch an itch that I realized I had. I started listening to his music, and then I wanted to listen to something either more bluesy or something more bluegrass.
Interesting.
He straddled the line that, while good, it didn't completely meet my desire.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Okay. No, yeah, no, it absolutely does. Yeah, because that's one of the things I was kind of touched on earlier. When she goes through these, he does all these kind of different genres in the same encyclopedia of, in the same, what's the thing you go on when you're a kid and it goes in a circle?
The Gravitron.
Yeah. He does like a
merry-go-round?
Thank you, actually. And the same merry-go-round.
I like Gravitron.
Neither metaphor makes sense, really, but in the same kind of vein, you know, like these are all related genres, you know, that influence each other. And I think mostly he's best when he does kind of his country, western, and folk rock, rockabilly stuff. And then he will dabble in bluegrass, he'll dabble in blues, and he'll dabble in these other genres and do them well. And I think, like, the lyrics and everything, like, they still are great songs, but they're definitely, you know, pinnacles of their genre. So that's cool, because if you like bluegrass all of a sudden, you should fucking listen. I got some bluegrass for you.
See, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, for example, you brought up Galway Girl, and it sounds good, but he worked with the Pogues on that, and it made me just want to listen to the Pogues and Irish folk rock and really get more to that. And then, you know, he does a blues song, and I'm like, that's a good song. But then I end up pulling my blues channel up on Spotify, and I want to listen to just bluegrass music or blues music. And it made me just want to go more in different directions. So he covers all of his bases, and he does them well. Mm-hmm. It's just, I guess it's a little bit, and this is coming from me, which sounds weird. Sure. It's a little too all over the place to nail down what I wanted to listen to.
Okay.
That's interesting.
It is interesting, and I actually totally buy it. Yeah, I won't argue that one. My history with listening to Earl, I think the amount of time and the focus that I've had on his individual albums has given me enough time to gain like a kind of a deeper perspective of what he's doing and what he's capable of and what he's actually out there making. And I think I started with the first one I really got into was Transcendental Blues.
Yeah.
Back in 2000, I think. I didn't start listening because Jerusalem had just come out when I was like, I think he was on The Daily Show or something, and he was talking about it. There's a, and we'll talk about this later, but there's, you know, John Walker Blues track on there. So I think he was on The Daily Show talking about that, and I was like, oh, Steve Earle. And then my buddy Mike's like, yeah, you should fucking listen to Steve Earle. And he gave me Transcendental Blues. And I listened to that so much. And I so much listened to that. And really kind of, yeah, I did that forever. And then I finally checked out Jerusalem, and I was like, man, he really hates the Iraq War and things like that. And it was a really great album, too. And then I think I went back to I Feel All Right. And I listened to that a whole bunch. So these three albums, I think, I listened to more than anything else. And then eventually, like 6 years later, I was like, oh yeah, Steve Earle. And I went back and I checked out all his other stuff. And that's when I think, like, Robert, like, if you're just exposed to it all at once over the course of, because he started like what 80 he actually started in 82 but
82 his first album was 86
86 yeah, so like this is another artist that has a huge career that my playlist is like, I think, yeah, it's fairly representative of him being all over the place throughout his career. But I think I was just localized to a couple albums at first. I got into those styles, and then I went back and kind of built up my understanding. But this is in no way a disagreement with your assessment. Robert.
I can understand that too, because I remember when we did the Dinosaur Jr. episode, how much I was listening to Dinosaur Jr., which was my own pick, and it made me want to listen to either Sonic Youth or Pavement a lot.
So you were saying that, yeah.
It's that happens. I get it.
No, but I am glad you dig it. I think you were saying, I think it was in the pre-cast. Is that what we call it? We call it a pre-chat or a pre-cast?
Cock talk.
I think when cock talk we were talking, that you said you pulled aside a couple of your...
Yeah. One of them was Galway Girl. I actually ended up liking that. And then Valentine's Day was a song that really, I don't know if it hit home. Or it just really struck a chord with me. I ended up liking that a lot.
It should. You know what? It reminded me of you when I was putting this list together. you were telling me how you will make like a Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's already on the list.
Yeah.
And it immediately went on the list.
I think because, so for those, and stop me if like you don't want everybody to know.
No, go ahead. By all means.
Last Valentine's Day, Robert comes up to me and he's like, hey, sweetie. And I was like, hey, you. And he's like, I'm making Valentine's Day playlist. I was like, aw. And he's like, so he was looking for recommendations of like love songs and like, not just traditional love songs.
Obviously. I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on this. every year for the past going on, this is, I think, the fifth year now, I always make my wife a Valentine's mix. And it's songs she's never heard of before or... It doesn't necessarily have to be like the most romantic song, but it could just be a sentiment that I feel or something that I feel is indicative of a relationship or anything like that. So I go out and I reach out to people who I trust their musical tastes and I ask them for opinions. And, you know, most of the time I throw away most of the recommendations that people give me, but every now and then a couple of songs stick. So...
Yeah, and so I'm sorry I didn't think of this one right away.
No, it's fine.
Because, it's such a... what I compare it to is The Constant, the episode of Lost.
Hmm.
So follow me on this one, if you will.
You're my constant.
No, in which it has this... it's so easy to fall into a trap of just being this cheesy love song.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it's a play on those old Bruner love songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, he pulls it off so well and it just comes off as so honest that you can't help but just, your heart just go like, ah, when you listen to it. And he knocks out of the park. It's really great. And that's one I listened, when I first heard that, I was like, I'm going to listen to this a lot.
Yeah.
Smoke a cigarette and maybe cry. it's really great, but it's another risky one. Like, put that on, is like, I don't know. It's like, are people going to connect with this the same way that I did, or will people say like, no, this is too cheesy, or this is too, you know, bind to itself, you know? But I'm glad you liked it. I'm sorry you hated it, John, but.
I was going to say, also, looking at this list, like, I don't want you guys to think that I am down on Steve Earle, because I'm looking at this list and I look at the, there's four songs here in a row that I really, really dug. The Boy Who Never Cried, John Walker's Blues, Waiting on You, Nothing Without You. Like, I remember listening to that in a row and being like, damn, that was really, really good. So, I don't want you guys to think that I don't like him in any way, because he's really, really good. It's just that... It took me on roads where I wanted to listen to something more in that particular genre that he was attempting to accomplish.
Well, that's cool, though. I think in a way that's kind of cool.
He's like your gateway drug. Well, Steve Earle's marijuana.
That's what I kind of started off saying. He is kind of this gateway into like all these other artists and all this great body of music that's out there. While I maintain he's still being great in his own right. Since you bring up John Walker's Blues for a second, because we can't not do that in this episode. He used to be like on country radio stations, Steve Earle. used to be like on the radio. And had his own kind of presence there in the country music scene. And then he did John Walker's Blues, and then that banned him radio player, pretty much. And it's so stupid because it's such a great song. And it's so, and I think this is the song that I heard in which I really, this is the one where I was like, fuck yes, Steve Earle. Okay. I can identify with what you're doing here. And it's so beautiful. And he, and so, I, you know, briefly, it says right after 9/11, in the midst of all that shit that was going on, John Walker, and I don't have his Wikipedia page up or anything, but he was the American Taliban person that they arrested and brought back for trial. He was the one that was, everyone was like, holy shit, if Americans can be terrorists, what do we do? You know, and he was so villainized, you know, and it was like, it really put, you know, the attitude in this country at the time in which like we completely refused to listen to the other side to even put in perspective why they would be doing this. You know, if we're right, they're evil, they're Nazis, so they're evil, so they don't have souls or opinions, and we don't need to spend a second thought on them, American or not. So Steve Earle writes the song from perspective of John Walker as just, you know, as just an American boy who didn't, who went down this road. And the repeating verse, there's no God but God, you know, it, it so harkens back to Dylan's, you know, with God on our side, you know, in which this, this truth can be subjective and it can be twisted and applied to anybody. And it's so beautiful and poignant. And he was completely, completely villainized for writing it and banned from all the radio stations. He did like a talk show circuit. He went on all these radio shows and everything, and just stood by it and defended it, you know, in the same way I think I kind of did, but better.
and, a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah, nobody really, you know, the people who cared bought it, but it didn't really help in the long run. So then he follows that up with "The Revolution Starts Now," which is kind of like, no, fuck you guys. Seriously. And I think that's actually one of my, I like "Revolution Starts Now," but I think it's, if I had to, it's probably towards the bottom of albums that, that I like. I think a lot of it is I don't know. I'm not a big fan of a lot of that album, but it's, you know, it has its place and it's, it has its point. It actually has some good tracks on there too. But John Walker's Blues is a great song. It's one of my favorites of his, and I think I could just listen to it for a while. Just based just on a musical value, I think it's a beautiful song too. So mm-hmm. I'm glad you liked that one too, Robert. I'm sorry you hated John.
I liked it.
should I play some of it now?
Yeah, let's play a little bit of it. If you could play anything that goes, or maybe just anything into the chorus, anything inclusive of that chorus.
So I'm just going to start at about 35 seconds. I don't know where that is. Here we go. John Walker's Blues, Steve Earle.
That's not it.
Shut up. There we go. Started looking around for a light out of the dim. And the first thing I heard that made sense was the word of Muhammad, peace be upon him. I shouldn't lie. God, if my daddy could see me now. Chains around my feet. That's a really good song. I like it.
That's a great song. And I'm glad you like that series I did there. I did that on purpose with the Boy Who Never Cried into John Walker's.
John Walker, and then Waiting on You and Nothing Without You, yeah.
I really like Tannytown too. That's fun. It's rocking. And it reminds me of Tansy Town. But yeah, no, Never Cried is also really great. That's another one off of Transcendental Blues that I'm just like, fuck, man. Yeah. he's good at this music thing.
Agreed.
John, I feel like you haven't talked in a while.
Huh?
Why don't you say stuff about things?
Well, it, yeah. Okay. I'll say some stuff.
Okay, good, because I need to grab a beer.
Well, I was going to go grab a beer.
Well, maybe you should have when you weren't talking for a half an hour.
Yeah.
It's Robert's turn.
I've been talking. On top of that, I mentioned all the little runs in the playlist that I liked. And yeah, I played a song.
That's what I mean. That's why I was quiet. You were busy and
Respectful. Now it's your turn.
I'm blowing it. I don't know. I mean, you said, you know, about how that he's like a gateway drug. It's funny because I would say that, not to talk about somebody who we're not podcasting about, but Townes Van Zandt was the gateway drug to get me into Steve Earle. So it's almost like in that whole set of people that I mentioned earlier, they were all, I mean, any one of them could be a gateway to the others, because it's kind of that musical collective type of a group that they ran around together in, and they recorded each other's songs and, you know, played together and whatnot. But, you know, any one of them could have been the gateway in, but they're all amazing artists in their own right as well. But yeah, that was my introduction, was through the Townes Van Zandt, which was great because I think Chris is the only other person that I know who even knows who Townes Van Zandt is, let alone appreciates and enjoys and knows his catalog. Cause,
well, and it's because the opposite is Earl's my gateway into Towns.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, all right, that's pretty good. And then, I can't believe we haven't talked about it yet, though, but Justin Townes Earl.
Right.
Also fucking great.
Yeah, he's quite good.
Yeah,
when all the Megazords like combined together and didn't make one giant thing?
He is a Megazord.
Okay.
He's Townes Van Zandt's son. No, named after Townes Van Zandt.
Yeah. And it's so great to compare him to Steve Earle, because I saw him in concert and he has this
You saw him in concert.
Yeah. Well, Justin Townes Earle, not Steve Earle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw him in concert, and he just has this real Steve Earle presence about him, and he kind of talks in the same way, and he has similar kind of life story. Like, he sings about the same thing, because Steve Earle, you know, kind of had a broken upbringing, and he his life in and out of and drugs and things like that. And turns out Justin Townes Earle, same way, in and out of prison, you know, I don't know what his relationship is with his dad, but he has a really great song called Mama's Eyes, which he pretty much does not care for his dad in that song. And, he, you know, he's a real plain spoken kind of person. And he was just brilliant live. He was absolutely, it was just him and an acoustic guitar. And then halfway through a set, a guy came out on the fiddle, and it was just that.
That's cool.
It was so good. And he would, like, stomp, you know, with his boot on the stage for the rhythm and stuff. It was, man, he was great. So, also, because I don't think we're ever going to do a Justin Townes Earle episode, but I'll just take this opportunity to go ahead and say go out and check out, too, because he's also kind of all over the place in his own right. You know, I think he tries to separate himself from Towns and from his dad to a degree. He kind of experiments a lot, but he's also really, really, really very good.
It's funny, it's kind of a side note to this, but I've found in my, you know, 20 years of concert going or whatever, that some of my favorite, most memorable, and best shows are the ones that are the solo acoustic shows or something like that. I can just name several artists. I mean, I saw Ben from Death Cab. Everybody take a drink. David Bazan from Pedro the Lion did a solo acoustic show, and it was magical. I've seen Derek Webb, who's another one that I really enjoy. I've seen him do solo acoustic shows probably four or five times. And then even just when I saw Ryan O'Neill from Sleeping at Last, he was doing this. It was just him, you know. Not
well, I
a
guess
full
it
band.
Would be, though.
Yeah. At one point, he had one friend come out and I think play piano or drum, something along with him. But those are some of the most intimate and amazing shows. And there's a lot of power in that if it's done right, and very cool. And Justin Towns Earl would be a good one to see like that too, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure. I forget. He opened for the Decemberists. That's what that was.
That's cool.
That was a good night, I tell you.
Decemberists, everybody take a drink.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So let's do Dinosaur Juniors for Steve Earle.
I'm gonna go with 7.
I'm gonna go with 6. No, 7.
I'm gonna go 9.
Yeah,
that was my pick, so
it's fair.
Hmm.
I like him a lot.
I'll give him 7. Don't Dinosaur Juniors and one Towns Van Zandt.
I never researched this quote, so this is another one that I heard secondhand. But I think it's fairly well known. I'm just not sure what it's from. But he loves Towns Van Zandt a lot. And I think he said the quote is something to the effect of, Towns Van Zandt is the greatest songwriter of our time. Yeah, he's better than Bob Dylan, and I'd stand on Bob Dylan's coffee table in my boots and tell him that.
Yeah. There's a good Towns Van Zandt documentary that's what got me into Towns Van Zandt. It was not his music. Apparently, my friend Caleb gave me a DVD documentary about Towns Van Zandt. I don't even remember when it was produced, but I watched that probably about 10 years ago. And that, just hearing everything I learned about Towns Van Zandt, I'd heard without really listening to any of his music. It was just, here's this DVD about this guy, you should check it out. I'm like, oh, but I don't have anything to do tonight. You know, all right, I'll throw this in. It's music. I just was completely captivated, you know, by that. I'm sorry to keep talking about freaking Towns Van Zandt. We're not doing a Towns Van Zandt show, but, you know, that, and then Steve Earle is pretty prominently featured in the documentary I saw. Documentary is called Be Here to Love Me.
Okay.
So if you're at somewhere, I've never seen anywhere, except my friend had the DVD and let me borrow it. So I don't know where you would even obtain this, but good luck.
I would tell Robert to go look up on Hulu for it, but that would just turn into our Hulu episode we were talking about. So let's not do that.
Probably not on Hulu.
I have to go look it up now.
Ah, tragic. All right, so let's, while he's doing that, what have we all been listening to? Because I know what I've been listening to.
I know what I've been listening to. I've been listening to what you've been listening to.
Oh, yeah. L word. bringing that back, by the way.
Wait, real quick, what's the name of this documentary?
Be Here to Love Me.
Wait, what?
Be Here to Love Me.
Okay, hold on.
Are we supposed to hold on?
No, go ahead and talk about whatever you're going to talk about.
Go ahead and talk whatever the fuck. New December single. Fucking so good.
It was actually USA Today's, like, single of the week this week, too.
Oh, nice.
It was getting rave reviews everywhere.
I'm glad, because, and I've said this about Wilco forever, and I say this about Sunburst, and I say this about all these bands still haven't been into, like, huge superstardom. I really want people to like them. I really want them to be successful doing what they do. And Decemberists, you know, they had their kind of moment back on when Crane Wife came out. They got a little radio play. That's kind of about it. King is Dead sold really well.
Right.
But I don't know, it got pretty good acclaim critically, but you know, I feel like they just need to be more well known. So hopefully this new one does it for them. But boy, this single art is so good. It's so fully realized. It's so fleshed out, and it's got this really deep poetry that you can connect to within it. It has a lot of their great songs too. And I think what I was telling John is it kind of continues in style from King Is Dead, in which you can kind of tell that Colin, even more than usual, has kind of this leading force in how these songs are arranged. Mm-hmm. And not to just keep talking, but you were saying that you thought Jenny Connelly did the backup on it, and I almost guarantee you not the case.
Maybe not.
No, because she never really does backup ever.
Yeah.
And when she does, she's not really a singer. So they. Right. But what's interesting about whoever is singing backup on this is it's almost like they're reading sheet music, because she does things, especially later in the track, that like inflections and ways that they do harmonies that Colin would harmonize with himself in earlier albums. And it's just, it's very, and I'll send you a couple examples of what I'm talking about, because I know this is a weird track thing that I'm saying. But she sings the way that like Colin would harmonize with himself.
Yeah.
And
that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's really fascinating, and it's fucking awesome to listen to. So I've heard Colin harmonize with himself for, you know, whatever, six albums now, and it's really good. But it's also, and I've also heard other backup singers harmonize with them in their own styles. But to like I said, it's not like she's reading sheet music and following instruction, and it's really beautiful, and it's really, really fleshed out and good. Yeah, just great fucking song. It's hard to stop listening to.
I listen to it. I have about an hour commute home when traffic is bad, and I think one day I listened to it about 8 times in a row on Spotify on the way home, because I just, like I told you, that just from the initial guitar tone,
mm-hmm.
And then when the piano comes in on that note, and I'm trying to put into words feels, and it's hard to describe the feels.
Yeah.
it's a song I haven't connected to a song like that in probably 10 years.
Wow.
I mean, there's been lots of songs that I've listened to, I'm like, oh, this is a freaking awesome song, or I really connected with, but this reminds me of when I listened to Death Cab for the first time and got connected with that. This is like deep level shit, kind of.
That really makes me. That really makes me happy, because I really tried to get people in Decemberists. So,
yeah.
That's cool. That makes me, because I feel the same way. I'm never really nervous whenever they put out new music. I just want it to be, you know, as great as I know that they can be, and for them to just do this fucking A+ song especially after their 3-year hiatus, so satisfying and so good, and kind of hard to put into words how just like really, really deeply and really the wrong word, but I guess just satisfied with this track. And Make You Better, by the way, is the name of it. I don't think we've said that yet.
No, I don't think we did.
But it is on the Spotify. I heard you can also look at their website, where you can also pre-order. I think, was it January 20th? 15th? Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think 15th is right. Yeah, 15th, I believe, is correct, where you can pre-order that album. So that's probably going to be pretty good.
It's one of those ones, though, too, that I want people to get it. I want people to like it. And I'm usually not like that. That because I understand that we demonstrate this all the time on this show, is that certain things appeal to certain people, and you know, we even know where our taste and where we're gonna hit some commonality on this, but we all have different takes on every artist we've talked about, and I accept that you know, when I share something with somebody or recommend a band, that you know, the worst thing that can happen is we're like, oh, you gotta love this band. Oh, I can't believe you don't like it. You know, that's right. Just such bullshit. And I hate when people do that.
Yeah.
But I really want people to like this song.
this is how I felt about Decemberists for a long time. I've always felt that they were kind of fringe, but and I think it's funny that almost every with so few exceptions, almost everyone that I've introduced the Decemberists that have actually given them a chance over time eventually do hit that point where they're like, oh yeah, no, they're really good. Mm-hmm. You know, and it usually takes a while, which I find odd because I liked them right off the bat. But regardless, like, my wife is a perfect example in which I was playing, and I think I talked about this in our Decemberists, which I played them for like 2 years. Like, I think I got Picaresque when that came out, and then I got Crane Wife. And then finally, like, by the time Hazards of Love came out, she's like, oh man, Decemberists are really good. Like, I've been playing them for like 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, I don't know what everybody's in intrinsic being shut off to them is, but I think that makes me, that qualifies that, yeah, I want people to like them because I know that they're likable.
Right. And I think they're better than a lot of people give them credit for too.
Sure.
And I told you when our Decemberist cast, I own a couple of their tracks, you know. I've gone to record stores and bought their stuff, but it just wasn't in my upper tier of, you know, just bands I loved. It was bands I appreciated and I enjoyed the, you know, what I listened to. But from there to then our podcast on them, then to this point with this song, I almost want to say that I was able to be open to connecting to this song because of listening to them on our podcast.
Cool.
So
yay, you're
so everybody in the audience who's listening now, hi Jen. I don't even know if Jen listens to us anymore, actually.
She has her own podcast now, so
I know. She's not, yeah. A guy named Shen. I don't know who he is. but, you know, that's a thing. Just if you listen to our shows with an open mind, you might find that you've picked up something along the way. The secret power of friendship.
Secret
power. I'm going to quit drinking now.
Oh, but it's just getting good.
I haven't heard it yet.
You haven't heard the song yet?
No.
Why don't you play us some of it?
Yeah, actually, good idea. Yeah, just play like the beginning bit. Don't play like the whole, you know.
All right, they can do that.
It's like a 5 minute song, yeah.
5 minutes and 8 seconds. New December song. Here we go. If it decides to play. Oh, I'm going to like that.
Yep. it was great because I listened to it. I was giving Juliet a bath, and I usually, the way we time her baths, because she has her bath toys or whatever, and she hates the idea of taking a bath, but once she's in there, she doesn't want to get out. So the way I time it is I play a few songs, you know, like on Spotify. And I was like, oh, fuck, there's a new December song. And she's like, oh, new Sesh song? And I was like, yeah, man, let's listen to it. And so that was my first listen with her, and she grooved along to it too. I was like, man, this is gonna be a song I listen to a lot, I bet. I think the only track I listened to more in a row the Decemberists did was a live rare recording of Colin performing at some zoo in Portland.
Of course, Portland.
It was some zoo, and somebody off stage was just recording, like, and the final track was a Cheap Trick cover of Southern Girls. And that is so much fun to to. I can send it to you guys because this is back in the days where I was like hardcore looking up rare recordings and stuff, and I got this awesome Live at the Zoo, you know, not actual album, and it's right before Crane Wife came out. So he plays like early versions of O Valencia and stuff. It's interesting. But yeah, the audience so doesn't care anything he's doing on stage. And he starts playing Southern Girls, and like he's trying to get like a sing-along going for the chorus because, you know, it's a very easy to repeat chorus. He's like, all right, we're going to do a bit of a sing-along on this one. And just like stone silence from the audience. He's like, ah, look at that. The roar of support to sing along. So that's good too. That's probably not on Spotify, our listeners. You'll have to go out and find that on your own. John will get to listen to it for free.
Yay, Dropbox it to me. Or whatever.
Internet, I will sell it to you and profit off of it.
Just internet it to me.
I'll put it on the internet for you. Yeah, maybe I'll put it out. Actually, I wonder if that's probably not on YouTube. Maybe it is. That'd be cool.
I think I used to do that with Death Cab and Ben Gibbard stuff. I would just troll the internet for troll. I don't know.
Troll.
I would cast my net wide on the internet to see what I could get. And I think the only thing that I really was able to get that was of interest was Ben Gibbard doing a Monkees cover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way this is on YouTube. Maybe I'll just put it up on YouTube.
You could be that guy.
I could be the guy that does it. No one's going to stop me.
You could be the guy that gets the cease and desist letter.
Yep.
I think I've only had one or two videos taken off of YouTube that I posted.
This is just Colin will see it. You know, he'll see this up on YouTube, and then it'll just ignite all of his old
rage,
passion for me. he grabbed my crotch once. That happened. It can't unhappen. I was at a concert. He ran by.
He was like, oh, that looks nice.
Yeah, I might have just been waving my crotch at him. It also might have been me that grabbed his crotch. It's hard to remember. Yeah, it's impossible to know. But anyway, that's a real good song. Anybody been listening to anything else?
Not really.
I've been listening to this jazz group called Portico Quartet. That's
how are fun. They?
I sent you a song, actually.
I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, it's good
you'll
stuff.
You'll know that I haven't. You can see. You can, if you go to your thing, it'll show you that
I trust you.
I've been listening to that freaking Katie Shaw song that you sent me, Robert.
Oh, Human Connection?
Contact.
Human Contact, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's like in my freaking brain now.
I love that song.
And I love it and hate myself at the same time.
Yeah. No, I've been listening to that that Katie Shaw song, Portico Quartet. Miles, my son, we just realized that he loves the cake version of Menomina. So that's been on repeat nonstop in our house. I went to a concert last week.
What'd you see?
I went and saw St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Yay.
That was a fun time.
I like that. Those guys. They're just having so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime I've seen any video of them playing anywhere, they just look like they're having the best time, and they're just like...
They put it all out there. They really like bring the house down. It's great. They did
people deserving a band.
They did a Radiohead cover of Fake Plastic Trees. They did a David Bowie cover. They covered Moon Age Daydream. They did Otis Redding, Try a Little Tenderness. They played pretty much their entire album. It was a great time. They did a Sam Cooke cover. They did a whole bunch of stuff.
You saw at Bonnaroo.
I saw him at Bonnaroo as well. Also, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you telling us about that back in the day.
Yeah. And then the opening band was this band called Jessica Hernandez and the Deltas. And they were all right. Give them a listen. They're on Spotify. So, yeah.
Cool. I'm trying to think what else I've been listening to.
Oh, no. Oh, okay, there's two albums I've been listening to like crazy lately. The new Run the Jewels album came out, which is fucking phenomenal, and everyone needs to stop what they're doing and go listen to that. And then the new Big Crit album came out, Catalactica, also fantastic. There you go. Two new albums for you to go listen to. Get your hip-hop on.
Did you say Catalactica?
Catalactica.
Like Cadillac and...
Galactica? Yeah, it's basically Big Crit is picking up the flag where Outkast dropped it and running with it. And it's That's if cool. Outkast was still making music, it would sound like what Big Crit is doing now.
You just piqued my interest on that. That's cool. I was actually listening to, on the way home from work yesterday, I was listening to Stankonia and thinking, because I just remember I was not super into hip hop when that album came. And then it was, I think I've told this story before too, but in college in the student center, just hanging out, killing time between classes, and they were showing MTV making the video, and they were video of Dad. Mm-hmm. And that just, I was like, what am I looking at here? What is this? This isn't what I'm used to. And it just totally changed my mind on some hip hop. It really was kind of a way to other things. So if you're representing this properly, I will probably be interested.
The album officially drops on the 11th, but I think NPR is streaming it right now. And then
cool.
Run the Jewels. I highly recommend listening to Run the Jewels. Their new album is called Run the Jewels 2. It's Killer Mike and production done by LP. That's getting rave reviews right now. Like, everyone is completely just going gaga over that and going gaga over the Big Crit. So, cool. Check those out.
Did anybody listen to Jesse Ware's new album yet?
No. I have heard, like, two songs from it, but they were, like, the singles that were released ahead of... I have not listened to the album yet. Okay. Say You Love Me, whatever that song is. I dig that one a lot. That's on my... It's in my top list. But no, I have not listened to the...
Yeah, it came out a week or two ago.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, that's good. A Tough Love. It's tough up love, on Spotify. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and bookmark it so I can be able to talk about it. We could all talk about it in our next episode.
Yep.
Speaking of which, whose turn is it?
It is my pick next.
Oh, son of a bitch.
What
is it?
Kind of bullshit. I don't think it is, actually. I think it's John's turn.
Is it John's turn?
You just did your fucking awful 90s band.
Fuck you.
what 90s band?
Deftones.
They're not... Yeah. Well,
whatever. Chris is just a fucking hater.
I am. And I'm gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate.
Don't Players you dare. Gonna play. Shut up, bro.
Shake it off.
You're fired.
Who's the enemy now?
No, we are not doing this.
I don't think. Because I think
that it's John's turn. You're right.
Yeah, because we did our Halloween one last time. So
that's right. I think I was originally gonna go with Q-Tip.
Nice,
including Tribe Called Quest and Solo.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Since I like to do that.
Sounds like more than one artist.
That was Jenny Lewis, though, too. I mean, we just kind of pulled from her.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you do this bullshit a lot.
I do. You make it fucking count, man. I mean, yeah. We're so gonna I'm going to go with that, unless I change my mind.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
We'll get a playlist probably tomorrow.
Regardless. It's just going to be make you better. It's just that.
Times. My top 10 favorite times to listen to make you better. You're in sequential order. Cool. By greatness. So yeah, let's go with that. We haven't done a hip hop show in a while.
haven't. You're right. True. Unless you count our Halloween episode.
What?
All right. I think that puts us at about time. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and giving Steve Earle a shot. If anything we said, I'll put the playlist up on the site so that if we're not friends on Facebook already, and I can't imagine any of our listeners are not my friend on Facebook, that you'll be able to listen to it proper until I delete it off of my Spotify.
Hey, we got a like on my post about my post, What's It Worth to You, from someone in like Sweden today. Like while we were doing the podcast, it popped up on my phone that somebody liked that.
Actually, it's just Jen Zanoxy.
They don't speak English. They don't different. Know what they're reading.
Like, oh, this is all right.
Well, I went to follow back their like. Blog because I guess they followed our blog, and I went to follow theirs back. I'm like, I don't know what it says.
I hate it.
Yeah. But yeah, we have a Swedish fan.
Oh yeah, so if you're listening, Swedish fan, guten morgen.
That's not so much Swedish.
Buongiorno.
No, it's bork bork bork.
English Bergen Volvo.
And there goes our Swedish fan base.
In the popcorn. Hey, would you want to close the show with again?
Oh, I don't know. What did I say?
Was it waiting on you, or?
No.
Okay.
Hold on. Find it. It was a motherfucking...
The other side of town.
Yes.
Okay. Fucking remember shit. I remember shit.
I'm sorry.
You had one job.
I'm probably going to listen to that December song. No.
Everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. Here we go. Other Side of Town by Steve Earle.
1, 2, 1, 2. I'm feeling alone. There's a place that I go to that no one knows. Where no matter what I do, won't nobody put me down. That's why I'm good.